Glad you're here today. Hope you're glad to be here. Amen. We are going to continue our series through His eyes. And we're going to look at this week and next week, look at the concept of through His eyes, the concept of generosity. Generosity. And we're going to look at a passage in Luke. As a matter of fact, if you want to turn there, you can turn to Luke 10. And we're going to revisit that passage today and look at three attitudes that we see in that passage. But before that, I want to begin in Proverbs. It'll be on the screen. Proverbs 11 says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." As we look at this today, I want us to think about, what does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to be generous? You know, when you say the word generosity or talk about being generous, most people immediately tie it to money. And though that's a big part of it, it's only part of it. Let's look at the parable here of the Good Samaritan in Luke and observe these three attitudes toward generosity that we see. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. And I'm just going to read the five passages or verses there. "Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and he too passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he, the man, was, who had been wounded and robbed. And when he saw him, he had what? He had what? Compassion. He had compassion. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day he departed. When he departed, he took two denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you.'" When the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion. But let's look at the first attitude we see there. Verse 31 and 32. "By chance, a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked, and he passed by on the other side." But before that, why was there a guy laying there for them to see and look at? It's because of the first attitude that we see. Thieves had mugged him, tore his clothes off, wounded him, beat him up, and robbed him. The first attitude we see there is, what's yours is mine. What's yours is mine. This is known as the thieves' attitude. These are those people that will use lies. They'll use manipulation, they'll use guilt, embellishment, and other means to benefit or enhance themselves. They go after whatever whenever they can without concern for others, using people and valuing themselves. These people most often look for ways to take rather than give. The thieves' attitude leaves others weakened or drained and usually in a lesser position than when before they encountered them. The thief mentality, what's yours is mine, takes not just tangible things like money or valuables and resources, but that mentality will also rob people of their dignity, of their self-worth, emotions. They'll rob families. They'll rob relationships. You see, the thief's attitude will rob physically and emotionally, and not just from the current generation, but those to come as well. An example. Often we see when someone dies and they leave an estate of whatever. Sometimes it's very little, sometimes very much. It's amazing to observe the heirs and how they respond and react in that situation. It does things to people. What's yours is mine, the thief mentality. There's another attitude that we see, the second attitude we see in this passage of the happenings on that dangerous road is, what's mine is mine. What's mine is mine. And we see that attitude in verses 31, 32 in the Levite and the priest. The Levite and the priest. They came by there, saw the guy laying there, probably bleeding, hurt, obviously, it says wounded. Turned and went on, passed by. We see this attitude displayed in the priest and the Levite because it says, you know, I could do something, but I choose not to. And that's exactly what they did. They chose to look at the man and keep going. They chose to look at him and keep going. They could have done something, but they choose not to. What's mine is mine. It's my time. It's my talent. It's my treasures. And they're for my benefit and my use, not for others. Selfishness and self-preservation are the masters of this kind of thinking, which really overwhelms any thought of meeting someone else's needs. These people just don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to inconvenience themselves for the sake of others. And the importance is, in their mind, on closely guarding what they have. Closely guarding what they have. What's mine is mine. Selfishness and self-preservation. Guarding what they have. Why? Because of fear. Fear that they can't replace what they might give away. Or fear that they won't have enough if they do give some away. See, the what's mine is mine attitude doesn't derive any joy from being a blessing to others. And that attitude has no concept of sowing into other people's lives. This thinking will deny others just for the purpose of hoarding and protecting what they have, what they've acquired, or so they can use it for their own benefit. This attitude thinks it's my time, it's my money, it's my building, it's my comfort, or my pleasure. Now, the priest and the Levite didn't take anything from the man when they came by that was mugged on the road. But you know what? They, as we look at the story in the Bible, they were the first to come by. They were the first to come by and see someone in need, and they just left him. For all they knew, he could have bled to death, died from exposure. You see, they denied the man compassion. They denied him compassion that he needed desperately at that time. I mean, he's been mugged, robbed, beaten. He needed some compassion, don't you think? They denied him compassion at the most desperate time. And the fact is, there's times when we may need to protect what we have as a responsibility to our own family. But listen, that doesn't fall under selfishness. You see, in those situations when we encounter someone in need, we need to ask ourselves this question. Is there anything I can do to make a positive change in the situation? Is there anything I can do to make a positive change in the situation? I mean, the priest or the Levite could have at least gone over there and said, dude, are you okay? Are you bleeding? What's going on? No compassion. No compassion. You see, we all have, and we all will, face times when we have to choose to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. Amen. And usually, that will cost us. Amen. Most often, 99.9% of the time, it will cost us something. It will cost us to be a blessing or to bring positive change into someone's life. You see, if we have the mine is mine attitude, it's going to limit the blessings that God wants to pass through us to others, because that's how he does it. You see, our lack of compassion may not take away from someone, but it sure fails to add to their life, doesn't it? Yeah. See, on the other hand, our lack of compassion may just take away the last ounce of hope that someone desperately needs, just needing to know someone cares. Amen. And here's the point. What we do or what we don't do really matters. What we do or what we don't do really does matter. What the priest and the Levite did mattered, didn't it? Amen. They just left him. See, I believe as Christians, God wants us to have the mentality of we don't want to leave people the way we find them, and surely not less than when we find them. Isn't it great that God doesn't leave us the way he finds us? Isn't that great? But he desires to add to our lives. God desires to bring positive change to us. He wants to enhance, enrich, and improve and bless us. And he wants to use us to do that in other people's lives. The third attitude in this story is that of the Good Samaritan. He stopped, checked the guy out, cleaned him up, cleaned up his wounds, bandaged him up, put him on his donkey and took him to an innkeeper, took care of him for the night, left the next day, paid the innkeeper to take care of him until he recovered. That attitude is, that's the third attitude. What's mine is yours. Ouch. What's mine is yours. That's the attitude the Good Samaritan had. It's selfless thinking. What's mine is yours. 1 John 3 in the Amplified Bible says, but whoever has the world's goods, in other words, adequate resources, and sees his brother in need, but has no what? Compassion for him. How does the love of God live in him? Certainly wasn't in the priest or the Levite, was it? Now you'd expect so, wouldn't you? Because they were the religious guys. You see, what's mine is yours is selfless thinking. It represents true generosity. The Samaritan, he looked past his plans. He looked past his schedule and his needs. Because why? He was living with purpose. And you know what? God calls us to live a life of serving, giving, and distributing. Now let's talk about that word distributing for a minute and what it looks like in the kingdom of God. The Bible says God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Now, when you people read that or hear that, first thing they think of, God's got a thousand head of cattle. It's not what he says, right? He owns the cattle, all the cattle on a thousand hills. That's a lot of hills, isn't it? God has all the resources, doesn't he? And we talked about this long ago in a discipleship series that I did. God chooses to bless us with his resources, through his resources. We all have different giftings of how we can do things and make things and things like that. And God knows that. And he pours his resources into us so that they can be passed through to someone else, to others. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people that will be distributors of his resources. Amen. Distributors of his resources. You see, when we release by choice what we have to others, it opens up that joy port in our heart. And we need to stop and ask ourselves again, can what I have or what I know make a difference in someone's life? Can what I have, doesn't matter how much, but is there something I have or something I know that I can impart that'll make a difference in someone's life? Here's how Jesus said it. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, when we choose to be a vessel, a channel that God can flow his resources through, rather than we just take a net and catch them and keep them for ourselves, that's not what he wants. He wants us to be a tunnel, a vessel, a pass-through that he can pass through. Yeah, we might can enjoy some of it, but we're to pass some of it through to others too. Opens up the joy in our lives. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, when you see your giving, whatever that looks like, again, generosity, the word giving, comes in all kinds of sizes, shapes, packages, and ideas. But when you see your giving making a difference in the lives of others, you experience the joy of God's blessing in that. When you see the results, the fruit. You see, God's looking for vessels. Vessels with the what's mine is yours attitude. Vessels of generosity that he can pour his resources into, knowing that they'll be poured into someone else. God is not willing to do without cheerful givers who will selflessly give of their time, their talent, their resources, their treasures. For what? To encourage, to strengthen, to enlarge the lives of others in and for the kingdom. In and for the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Now, look at it on the screen. I don't know if any of you have the Amplified, but I want you to see it in the Amplified. It says, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And he delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. In other words, don't give it just because you feel like you have to. Give it because a piece of your heart's in it. Give it because a piece of your heart goes with it. Give it because it comes from your heart. It might come from your wallet or your pocket, but it goes through your heart. That's what God's saying. Let it go through your heart. Because if it just goes from here to there, anybody can do that. He wants it to go from here through here. See, too many of God's people are living with one of the first two attitudes. What's yours is mine, or what's mine is mine. And the church needs more of the Samaritan's attitude. Amen. Getting joy from it. Every Christian's goal should be to allow giving to permeate every aspect of your life. And when that happens, you're going to begin to experience the blessing and the joy from the Lord that you've never known before. And as that happens, lives upon lives will be transformed along with families and communities. As Jesus finished telling this story, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You know, that's kind of where the story, as it's told a lot, as it's taught a lot, it's kind of where it ends. The Good Samaritan, helping him out, bandaging him up, cleaning him up, giving him clothes, taking him to a place where he can stay, getting him a place to stay until the innkeeper take care of him. Whatever you spend, I'll pay you back when I come back through. But that's not the end of that story. Jesus was telling this story, this parable, in response to a lawyer. A lawyer who had asked him some questions. And he had told the lawyer, he had answered him with this parable. And then in verse 36, he says to the lawyer, as he's told these about these three attitudes, he says, "So which one of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Now, this is what he was responding to. The lawyer had asked him, you know, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he says, "What's written in the law?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "Yeah, you're right." And then the lawyer said, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus told the parable. But he ends his parable with this, responding to, again, finishing up speaking to the attorney. "So which of these do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And of course, the lawyer said, "He who showed mercy on him." Here's the punchline. Last four words. What's it say? Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. See, it's easy to read this parable and whip up on the priest and the Levite and the thieves and to feel good about what the Good Samaritan did. But there was a purpose to Jesus' story. And the purpose was, as he said to the lawyer, he says to us, "You go and do likewise." Amen. Go and do likewise. In other words, don't be just hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. Amen. Three attitudes. Let's pray together. I want to ask you a question as we do that. I want you to let the Holy Spirit search your heart. Put yourself in this story, as it relates to your everyday common life. Which are you? Which is your attitude? Do you have a thief mentality? Do you do things to just manipulate people and get your way or get what you want? Young people, do you try to work your parents that way? Manipulate to get what you want. It's called a thief mentality. Adults, do you do that at work? Do that at home? with your spouse or your employers, your coworkers. It's a thief mentality. Or do you have the mentality of what's mine is mine? I work hard for it. I struggle to get it. I do the best I can. I'm a good person. I don't lie, cheat, or steal. But what's mine is mine. It doesn't work in God's kingdom. That attitude doesn't work in God's kingdom. What works in God's kingdom is what's mine is yours. And listen to me, God, as you're praying and asking God to search your heart, I'm not saying, and God's not saying, you know, you need to give everything you have away. Some people do that. It's the attitude of the heart. Too many people walk by people. Too many Christians walk by people because they don't have time, they think. They don't have enough, they think. Or they might run out, they think. That's called fear. You see, the Good Samaritan didn't care. He was going somewhere. He had someplace to be. But he stopped and helped someone, took a day out of his life and gave it to someone who needed it because he had compassion, because he looked at him through God's eyes. We need to start seeing each other. We need to start seeing others through God's eyes, through His eyes. I want us to just take a few minutes to pray. Pastor Bill and some others will be at the back, and we'll be here at the front. God, we just thank you. I thank you for all these people sitting here. Thank you for every person here today. This worship team, the tech team, kids ministry team, those children over there that are learning who Jesus is and how to know him. I thank you, God, that you bless us beyond our imagination in ways that we never, ever know sometimes. I pray, God, that we would see things through your eyes. We would see our blessings through your eyes. We would see our provisions through your eyes. We would see how you take care of us and provide for us and encourage us, and how you use us in each other's lives, in the lives of others, for your purpose, for your kingdom, the purpose of bringing others into the understanding and knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just say thanks to you today. Change our attitude. Give us your attitude, God. Give us your vision, your eyesight, your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made any kind of decision today, write it on your connection point. Make sure you fill that connection point out. Just drop it in the offering bag when it comes by. I hope you're encouraged today. God has encouraged you in some way. And I hope you use that encouragement to encourage someone else. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to receive the tithes and offerings for us this morning.